Pope Francis was once quoted as saying that the job of the church is threefold. It is to worship God, it is to proclaim the gospel, and it is to serve the poor. And those three things are intimately connected with one another. You can't do one without the other. And you're not doing one correctly if you're not doing the other. And so that makes perfect sense in the context of these homilies that we've been doing on the Mass in terms of worship today. We're going to be talking about we're going to be homilizing about the communion rites and the concluding rite today. So what this part of the homily is going to be very, very short. And so I just wanted to point out in the gospel today that when we talk about communion, is it doesn't just put us in relationship with God, it puts us in relationship with our brothers and sisters. And so what we're celebrating, when we celebrate communion today, intimately is connected with seeing everyone else in this world as a tabernacle, as somebody who is the bearer of God. We receive the presence of Jesus Christ, who is in his suffering, in his death and his resurrection, so that we might see others in the same way. And then in the second reading today, which is from Paul's letter to Timothy, there is a charging. It's a missioning. And those concluding rites, if we listen to them correctly, are a missioning to us. They are the second most important words, even though the concluding rite is the shortest of the rites of Mass, they are the second most important words that we speak at liturgy after the Eucharistic prayer. Because they take what is the Eucharistic prayer and they make it real. They make it mission. That this is one of the reasons we come here. We come here to worship God. We come here to proclaim the gospel. Moses and the prophets to prepare us to hear of the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without understanding the Moses and the prophets, we're not going to come to faith in Jesus Christ and his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, like the rich man here. And then to be mission, to become Eucharist for others. But more about that at the end of Mass. Okay? We're going to be entering now into the communion rites. These communion rites don't make sense unless we understand exactly what we did just a moment ago through this Eucharistic prayer. Last week I talked about the Eucharistic prayer having eight parts. And one of the things that I really encourage you to do for your own spirituality and kind of deepening your own faith in the Eucharist is, if you have a Magnificat, you have a missal, to take it out and go through those eight parts. See if you can see where those eight parts are and what it's leading us to. We're in communion with Jesus in his suffering, his death and resurrection, and his sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory. That is why we start with the Our Father. You know, why are the Our Father in the communion rites? Is it just because it's one of Jesus' big prayers and we better find a place for it in the Mass? No, this is exactly where the Our Father most truly can be prayed. The Our Father can be prayed in this moment because Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is not only present in this Eucharist, he's also prayed that by our communion, we also share in his life before the Father. And so we're saying that we're praying that prayer in Jesus and through Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven. Well, he's not just in heaven away from us. Heaven is present right here in our midst. We're experiencing what the angels and the saints do forever through this communion. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our super substantial bread. Give us this day the bread of heaven. In other words, this we're in communion with him because we share at this table. Forgive us our sins. This is a tough one. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Some people have said this is the hardest part of the prayer for them to pray because it's a covenant. We're making a promise to God who takes us at his word. He will forgive us the way we forgive other people. Now that can be really scary. But if you struggle with that, remember we're praying this prayer in and through Jesus. Let Jesus pray this prayer for you and with you. If you're having a hard time forgiving, say, Lord, I'm doing that, but I'm in you right now. Pray that prayer in me so that I'm experiencing your ability to forgive, not just my own. And so we stand and pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. By the way, sometimes Catholics get accused of breaking up the Our Father. We're not. The part that I prayed and the part that you just prayed are both from the Apostolic Constitution, which is an ancient post-apostolic text that talked about the Mass. And it was talked about how we did it. It's just that some of our other Christian brothers and sisters have taken the doxology, but because they got rid of the priesthood, they got rid of the priest part. And so it's not that we're disconnecting the Our Father from what it is. But then we come now into the sign of peace. Now, a lot of people said we should have brought the sign of peace to a different place at Mass. We should have done it before we brought our gifts to the altar. And that's one meaning of a sign of peace. That's a meaning of being at peace with one another. Before we bring our gifts to the altar, it's a way of acknowledging our sins. But this means something different when we have it at this particular moment. It's also part of the communion rites. Not just part of, this is what puts us in communion with one another. You know, that if we're saying our Father because we're united with Christ in this Eucharist, it means that in heaven there cannot be anyone who we are not at peace with. That's why if the murderer and the murderer victim both are able to allow God's mercy into their heart, and they both repent, and they both stand before the Father, they will be at peace with one another. That's why when we say, peace be with you, and then we offer that extension of peace to the people who are just with us in this moment, we're really extending that peace to all the world. So this is a communion rite, not just with the people in this church, but the people throughout time and history as we ultimately stand before the Father in heaven. So this peace rite is, again, our communion rite. This is how Jesus is being made present in our lives. As I say, the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of that peace. You can almost hear the fathers of the church when they were writing the text of the Mass, as they were understanding this, that they went back to that very first time when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And remember that John the Apostle was a disciple of John the Baptist. And so he was there when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." So it's not it's not a surprise that in the book of Revelation, written by John, as he writes what happens in heaven, is this: the saints come and they say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then, "We happy are those who are called to the Lamb's Supper." We're doing what John said. We're doing what John the evangelist said, is we're saying, "Look, behold, wake up. This is important. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is part of our communion rite. I'm also going to preach right now about what comes right after this communion rite, after we break the bread. And we have one host that we break, and then, but it's a symbol of the one loaf that is broken. And even though there's some that are pre-broken, it at this point represents this one bread and one body. And then we'll take a small piece of the Eucharist, and I'll put it in the chalice. That actually comes from the Mass as it was celebrated in Rome. Initially, there were seven churches in Rome. There were seven deacons. And what would happen is the Pope would celebrate Mass, and then a portion of that Eucharist would be given to each of the seven deacons, and they would go to the other Masses that were being celebrated, and they would put a piece of the Pope's Eucharist into the chalice as a symbol, as a sign that there was only one Eucharist. There was only one sacrifice. And then we have the great altar call. Don't let anybody tell you that Catholics don't do altar calls. We do it every time we come to Mass. All of what we've been doing in the Liturgy of the Word, in the Liturgy of the Eucharist, in our creed, in our universal prayers, we're saying, do you believe this? Are you ready to conform your life with your Lord Jesus Christ, who is calling you to his supper? Are you ready to allow him to conform you with him, in communion with him? The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Amen. Yes, I believe. Not only I believe that Jesus is here, but I believe all of it, and I'm ready to make that commitment with my life. That's why it's a procession. It is not a line. It's not like McDonald's, where you get through the drive-thru, and you get what you get, and then you drive on past. It's not about just what we receive. But who receive actually changes who we are. And that's what's happening in these communion rites.
Receiving of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, let it not bring me judgment and condemnation, but health and mind and body.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. The last rite of the church is the concluding rite. And it's meant to be very short. It is that missioning prayer. Just as we began that prayer, we're being sent out to become Eucharist for the world. That's why I said it's the most important prayer after this. We come to worship God, yes. We come to listen to the scripture, but we're come to do what Jesus did. If we become Jesus Christ, we have to do what he did, which is, it's his intention to Christify the world. And that's the job of you guys. That's not the job of me. My job as a priest, the job of the clergy, is to mission you for the true work of the church, to be Eucharist for the world, to Christify the world.